Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This has been our foundation scripture, and so I want to take it a little bit. You know what? Let's before we go there, let's look at Acts chapter 2. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 first, okay? I've got specific instruction in what we're going to focus on tonight. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Poured out. Notice that the image, you know, and the picture that's talked about the Holy Spirit is in this rivers of living water. He's poured out upon all flesh. I mean, it's like if there's a waterfall right here on this stage, and if I was to step under it, you can't step under a free-flowing waterfall without getting completely wet. Amen. And so you need to see that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. And you know, here's the deal. This is what Jesus came for. Guys, I want you to understand, I love that y'all are here on a Wednesday night, on Wednesday Activate, because Jesus came. He said, it's better for you that I go. He was talking to his disciples. Check it out. His disciples, they lived with him, they walked with him, but they weren't always there. Sometimes Jesus went into the mountain to pray. Sometimes Jesus went to the garden. Sometimes Jesus was asleep. Particularly right in the middle of a storm in the boat. And so here they were. They couldn't just talk to him without waking him up or whatever. And so Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away, because when I do, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. I'm sending you the Comforter. You know who he is because he's been with you, but now he's going to be in you. In other words, he won't be asleep. When you need him, he's there. He's ever present. And so he says, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise that's coming from the Father. This is the promise. And so Peter on that day, as the Holy Spirit comes on all of them, they begin to speak in other tongues, and the fire of God hits them and begins just to burn bright. And here these people that were cowards before, Peter had just a month before denied Jesus three times, and now they become bolder than ever before, not because of them, but because of the Spirit of God within them. And so he says, this is that which was promised. This Jesus was raised up. This Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he has received the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he is now given. And he says, this promise is to you and to your children and to everyone that's afar off. What promise? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Come on. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is ever present to lead you, to guide you. Guys, we got to get beyond intellectualism and experience the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. You know, he needs to be your friend, the Holy Spirit. Your friend, the Holy Ghost. Giving you insight. Giving you understanding, navigating you. I was talking to, let me just give you a testimony. Let me look at the time and make sure, because we got some stuff to do. I was talking to somebody in our church, and so they've just recently come into an understanding of what it means to be led by the Spirit of God, to rest in the leading of the Spirit of God. And you know, as a person involved in business, they're constantly, their lifestyle had been one of concern about their income for their business, their income for their lives, and just, you know, sometimes business people just constantly thinking about sales and all of that kind of stuff. And so this has been just over and over and over again. But his life has been just, you know, his foundation is what he said has been just reestablished, has been ripped out from under him and being relayed concerning the grace of God, the goodness of God, being able to rest and trust in him. And so anyhow, just a couple of weeks ago, you know, as he went up for prayer and or talked with somebody and really decided, I'm going to lay this aside. This thing that I've carried, this care that I've carried, this anxiety, this worry, I'm laying it aside. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God with my finances. And he said, and freedom came. Freedom came. Everything lifted. And the next week after that happened, he had some situations happen in his business that looked like he was going to lose over half of his income, half of his revenue in his business. He said, I know how I would have handled it before. He said, but this time I was at perfect peace. This time I was at perfect rest. I mean, he got to the point that he said, you know what? Whatever, God's got me taken care of. And if I have to, I'll just take a year off or something. In other words, his heart wasn't wrapped up in that. His heart was wrapped up now in God and God's care for him. And I mean, people looked at him like, man, what is wrong with you? You're at peace, and we might lose this account. We might lose this. He was at rest. Let the Holy Spirit lead him and guide him. And by the end of the week, God had completely turned every situation. Thank you, Jesus. Made it even better than it was before. And so he's just walked out perfect and total victory because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. I say this, I love this scripture. Some people don't like for me to talk about it, but I love this scripture because the perspective, it's all about perspective. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The focus isn't where you're walking. The focus is what's going on in your heart. That's the problem, right? Is a lot of times we're moved by where we're walking. God, I don't want this. God, I don't. Jesus was asleep on a boat in the middle of a storm, and he was not out of the will of God. Jesus was never out of the will of God. And so he was at perfect rest, because he knew that he would get to the other side. It was the disciples that were all freaking out and operating out of the flesh and thinking that they were about to die. But a sheep that knows the voice of the shepherd, we're talking about hearing his voice and we're talking about letting him flow. A sheep that knows the voice of his shepherd is just not concerned about where he's walking. La-da-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da. You know, there's nothing bad going on in my life. La-da-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da. No, I didn't. That was a spur-of-the-moment thought. Came out pretty good, actually. La-da-da. And he's just following the shepherd. Shepherd just leading him. Shepherd knows there's a lion over there. Shepherd knows that there's a tiger over there. Shepherd knows there's a bear over there. Oh, my. Shepherd knows. Come on, help me out here. Lions and tigers and bears. There it is. Shepherd knows that it's all there. The lamb doesn't. The sheep doesn't. He also knows that if something tries to attack, there's a rod, there's a staff. That shepherd is going to take care of the issue. And so it's not about where I walk, it's about what I'm experiencing here in my heart that indicates really where I am faith-wise. Do I really trust? Do I really believe? You know what's going on in your heart. The Holy Spirit's given to you, and this is what I love, to help you navigate through every situation. So the difficulty of the situation does not matter because he is the answer in everything. That's for somebody tonight. So Acts chapter 2 here. Let me read a couple of things to you, and then we're going to get into some stuff. Acts chapter 2, and I want you to look at Peter's illustration here as he gets up. He says, this is that in verse 16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit. Got choked up. Let me get some water. Hold on for 1 second. Something just got my throat right there. It shall come to pass, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. Do you have flesh? Okay, then that's you. All flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Two things here. Man, I'm going to get this in a moment. Maybe we just need to start being led by the Spirit of God. Hold on. Glory to God. No, it's not a hawse. There's like a, I don't know what it is, something tickling my throat, and it's not funny. Two things. One, I want you to notice that there's no discrimination here. Sons and daughters, young men and old men, all shall prophesy. Secondly, I want you to see, he said, handmaidens and servants. These are people that are yielded to God, that are serving God. So for you to really experience the flow of the Spirit of God in your life, I want you to notice 120 of them, they were there at the command of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and they were praying. They had positioned their heart, positioned themselves ready to receive the Holy Spirit in their lives. Receive Him. Does that make sense? Glory to God. It's going to work its way down here in just a second. So what I'm saying is, those that have enthroned Christ in their heart, those that have said yes to the Lord in every area, the more you say yes and the more you yield your heart, the more you'll end up being used and letting the Spirit of God use you. Amen. Now turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 12. And then I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've read through the gifts of the Spirit, so that's not what I want to focus on. Verse 11 says, But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want you to see what he just said here. Whether you are Jew or whether you're a Greek. And in this day, it was legal to have slaves, to be enslaved, to be even an indentured servant or in servitude to pay off a debt. And so he said, there's no distinction. It's not about your economic standing. It's not about your cultural standing. It's not about how you look in society, that it doesn't make any difference. He says, all of us have been made to drink. Somebody say drink. To drink of one Spirit. Drink into one Spirit. Okay? Which means you've got to make a decision to drink. You make a decision. I'm making a decision to drink more water. You got to drink it in. You got to stir up the gift. You've got to recognize what's in you. You've got to recognize what's available to you. If you're waiting for God just to come along and zap you and use you, then you're going to wait a long time. You're waiting. What you have to do is you've got to take that step. You got to recognize what you already have. And so he goes on to say, to drink of one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And so what he does here is he begins to describe the different parts of the body. And I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but basically he says, can the hand tell the foot, I have no need of you? No, the hand's not going to say, hey, I'm more important than you are. Can your nose tell your eyes, hey, I have no need of you? No. In other words, every individual part of your body works together for a common goal. Okay? You know, I mean, even with my getting choked up here, all of my body saying, come on, let's help. Let's help where the choking up is happening. Let's help the throat. So my arm, my fingers, my hand, my mouth, my tongue, everything is like, we got to fix this issue in the body. It all works together. Okay? There's not an insignificant part in the body. There's not an insignificant part in the body. And sometimes people, what the Lord wanted me to focus on for a moment before we start stepping into some things, is sometimes people see themselves as insignificant. Well, I don't sing on the worship team. I don't, you know, I'm not leading a small group. I'm not this. I'm not that. You know, so what I have to say isn't important. I'm not significant. You are significant. You are just as significant as the person on the praise team. You are just as significant as the person that's up here with the microphone. You are just as significant in the body of Christ. There is a gift in you, and as every person steps up and begins, I mean, what's going to happen tonight? You've got to recognize, first of all, that you are just as valued. Every member of the body in this church has just as much value as the next one. We don't look at one and say, well, you know, Wendy's been here part of this church, you know, with me and with my father 30 years. So she's got more value than anybody else. She doesn't. And I don't mean that ugly. It's just that what happens is the excitement that we have is about, man, when new people come in, and a lot of you are new, immediately we're like, how can we help you find what you're gifted to do? Wendy's not here saying, oh man, here's somebody looks like they're a little more gifted than me, and they're going to take my position. No. The body is about celebrating other people's gifts and about esteeming other people. And how can we step? Because guess what? It's about winning the lost. It's about winning winning this world for Jesus. And he's the one that gets all the credit. He's the one that gets all the glory. So it's not about us getting recognition. It's not about other people approving of us. It's about how can we get out of the way and let Jesus be magnified in everything that we do. And when that is really your heart, then all of a sudden, when it's about lifting up Jesus, and then loving other people, regardless of what they've done, and just saying, Lord, just use me. How can we help them move from a place of where they feel like they're insignificant to recognizing their value in you and step into their gift and their calling? That's the body that is working together in unity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start out letting the Spirit of God just move. Just Just watch. The Lord's going to give you words. Somebody's going to give you, you know, you'll have a picture. You'll have a word. You know, we've done this kind of thing in a general. So we want to start out generally, but then we're about to move into something a little bit more specific. But right now, I just feel by the Spirit of God that God's already beginning to work and to stir up on the inside of some of you some things to say. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as we're open to the Spirit of God, thank you, Father, that the body here, that everybody is significant, and that right now that there's words of knowledge, there's words of wisdom, there's pictures and visions and things that's being dropped in the spirit of people right now. Just be open to it in Jesus' name. Thank you for a release of the moving of the Spirit of God. Lord, we're here to hear from you, and we thank you for the gifts that are here.